From the mountains of central British Columbia to you listening around the world, this, my friends, is Spaced Out Radio. I am your host, Dave Scott, sitting in the captain's chair of SOR headquarters. We welcome you to tonight's show on our terrestrial affiliates around North America, digitally on TalkStream Live, Revolution Radio, and KPNL. All of our archives are free by going to youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Just do me the favor, hit that subscribe button. You can follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio and on Instagram at Spaced Out Radio Show. Our website is spacedoutradio.com, where we have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot and reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire. Tonight's show is brought to you by Chive Charities. Help make the world 10% happier by visiting Chive Charities today. You can find them on our website. The man who we have on tonight really needs no introduction in the UFO world, as good Canadian kid Grant Cameron has made his research one of the best in North America over the last 40-plus years. Grant, of course, is well-known for his Presidential UFOs website at presidentialufo.com, and he, over the years, has studied everything to do with ufology, everything from the ships, who knows about this, the experiencers, the abductees, those who have claimed to fly the ships, the psychic connection, the consciousness. Grant has his feet in absolutely everything, and he never closes a door until the path runs cold. And that's why I absolutely love him. Grant Cameron, it is always a pleasure to have you on Spaced Out Radio, especially this week with June 25th and the Pentagon report allegedly going to come out on Friday. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you here, my friend. And have you had a stressful week or a stressful buildup leading up to this week?
Yeah, lots of people want interviews, and lots of people are doing, everybody's getting into the platforms now where they're running, shows and podcasts and stuff like that. And I have my own podcast now that I do every day. So things are pretty hectic, and this weekend is Contact in the Desert, so it's going to be like totally crazy, and then next week I can relax a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Plus, we have our big event Friday. Where's my assistant? Why is she not in the chat room? Nicole, my friend.
She's probably sleeping. She's probably sleeping. Where is Nicole Sackage? Yeah,
She and I are running an event Friday night. We're going to... because you probably know that says the report on is going to be a big nothing burger. So I decided that we were going to have a disclosure event on Friday. So the government's going to tell you basically nothing, and we're going to allow the other side to tell the story. So we've got all the experiencers coming on, and they get to us they're in contact with, and what's the message from the other side. So we're going to do our disclosure event.
I think that's what needs to be done. We're actually bringing in a bunch of experiencers tomorrow night. We have Ryan Bledsoe, Samantha Mowat, and John Carty joining us to talk about, you know, how the experiencers are kind of getting left out in this first phase of what is potentially disclosure. But for you, Grant, when you look at the June 25th, did you ever think it would come to this day?
I was just telling the story. I was just on another event. I said, I used to speak at the Steve Bassett's X conferences in Washington. And I remember the one time he had at the end, it was sort of like the ending thing. So there was still, the audience was there. And he said, all the speakers were on the platform. And he said, okay, so when disclosure is going to take place? One person says, 6 months, a year, 6 months, 6 months. And it comes to me and I go, 2041. You should have seen Steve Bassett's face. It was like, how could you say that in front of all these people? I never thought this would ever come down to this. But I did make some predictions, which turned out to be true. I said, when the major media realizes they've been had, it's all going to unravel. And I would say that not much will happen Friday, if anything. But once they release anything, the whole thing is going to blow up. That's part of the reasons why they've had the cover up is the less you say, the safer you are. All you do by answering a question is lead to the next question, which leads to the next question, which leads to the next question. And they don't have the answer to a lot of the stuff that everybody wants. But they're going to say nothing's happening, or, you know, basically it sounds like, because on another event, and he basically says, the story is that they're going to say, yeah, this, they're going to avoid saying UFOs are real. They're going to say the film's real. There's a mystery, and we don't know. We've got no definitive evidence that it's extraterrestrial, and that's going to light the bomb, and it's just going to blow up all of. Blumenthal was on just a while ago, and he said even he can't do UFO story anymore because all the major reporters are working on this story. Everybody realizes there's Pulitzer Prizes here. This is the biggest story of all times. They suddenly realize this is for real, and there's a big mass. Subscribe from everybody else. Even Sheehan indicated that there are two more 60-minute events about to happen. So this is a big thing. It's just getting started. Friday is when they light the fuse to the bomb, and it's going to go off, and it's all just going to go viral. Because I say that once the major media realizes it's been had, a lot of sources on the inside, and even Danny Sheehan talked about the whatever they release, there's going to be a classified version and there's going to be an unclassified version, and he said the classified version will probably stay secret for about 24 hours.
Well, I mean, that, you know, last night we had Tim McMillan on in our media panel that we had, and he was saying that he expects the classified report to be 70 to 78 pages long. The public may see only as little as 4 of those pages of what actually comes out. Do you see a lot of redacting going on here and a lot of hidden information?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can't do that anymore. You could do that in the past, but there's a couple of things have changed big time. So, like Danny Sheehan said, you can withhold whatever you want. I mean, now you have major media who all have Pentagon sources, all have insight, and nothing stays secret in Washington. So whatever's in that classified report, as Danny Sheehan said, is going to stay secret for about 24 hours, and it's going to be leaking out. Everybody's going to have it. It's going to be on the front page of the New York Times. Even the New York Times is already stating that their sources off record are stating that they don't have evidence that this is or no definitive evidence that this is ET. So it's leaking already. It's not even out yet. And so I would disagree with that. I would say the other thing is that, and I said this as soon as I heard this had happened, that Danny Sheehan was the lawyer on the inside. I said, Danny Sheehan's been waiting for this entire life. You have Danny Sheehan inside the Pentagon now. And as he said tonight, he said, I'll put up with this for so long. And I polled all these inspector people that appeared in this February or June the 15th meeting. I'm only going to put up for this for so long. My patience will wear out. And he's not fooling around. He knows exactly what to do. They're not going to play the old shuffle it, redact it or whatever. They're up against Danny Sheehan. This guy took down Oliver North. This guy took down the American industry. This guy had the New York Times for the Pentagon Papers. This guy is the one guy. When I saw that he was in the game, I said, we actually have a chance to win this thing, because Danny Sheehan is a totally different cat. That's what they said. I don't know if you heard his event tonight, but he said that when Lou Elizondo was told to appear at this June 15th meeting, he said, I'm bringing my lawyer. And they said, your lawyer? So they brought their lawyer. So the Pentagon had their lawyer, and all the inspectoral people were there. All these different departments were there. And because Danny Sheehan was appearing, and they know. I feel sorry for the guys that are up against Danny Sheehan. This guy, Danny Sheehan, knows all the games. He knows all the stuff. He's done this his entire life. He's been waiting for this opportunity his entire life. Now he's on the inside, got his foot inside, and it's going to be pretty hard to redact or play games or shuffle it down the road or whatever. They're up against Danny Sheehan.
You think Danny Sheehan that has that much pull in order to get this done?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's not going to mess around. I mean, if you remember, even this thing where they said in this report, they said the same thing. They said, oh, we need you to keep it off the road. And I know that was the same thing that happened at the University of Manitoba where I worked, was it's like the governors, like the university is, you don't want to play this thing out on the front pages of the newspaper. So every time the university would fire someone or there'd be some sort of major discipline stuff, they would always buy out people and have a non-disclosure agreement to keep it out from people talking about it. And there was the talk when the same thing happened at Harvard University, when they had these discussions where Max said, okay, they're just talking to me. They want to ask me some questions. And Danny said, baloney. And then he goes in there and then they say, well, we're going to keep this off the record. You can't talk about this. And then, he sent out this thing and we're going to bring in all these people and stuff. And Harvard University went totally nuts because Danny doesn't keep anything secret. I'm not going to play that game. This is going to be on the record and going forward with this. And he's very open about the whole thing. Even he talked about, I don't know if you know his original case. That was the one where he went to the Carter administration to do a lecture to the top 50 people at JPL on the religious implications of extraterrestrial intelligence. That was Marcia Smith that brought him in, who was the sort of the head aerospace person in the Library of Congress. And she was in classified reports for Jimmy Carter, one on extraterrestrial UFOs, and so was brought in on that. And he went and told the whole story about how he'd seen the flying saucer on the microfilm at the Jefferson Building in Washington. And he said Marcia Smith to this day is still totally upset that he went and told everybody. And he said, well, that's what I do. I mean, so that's the thing. Danny is he's a different cat. He knows every game. He knows every trick in the book. And he's up against, the lawyers who think that they're going to play little games, but you're not playing the game with Danny Sheehan. He knows exactly how the game is played and he knows exactly what not to put up with. And that's what he said. Like, I'm going to put up with it for so long. I've got, limited patience. And he told them straight to their face, we'll play this little game. Cause what they're doing right now is they're playing this game that we're not having an investigation. We're just going to have a, what do they call it? I can't remember the word they use for it. Not an investigation, a review or something. And he said, okay, we'll do that for a while, but we're going for the, I'm letting you know right now, we're going to move this from sort of a review to an investigation. And he told them right up front, this is where we're going with this thing. And they're trying to back this thing off. They can sidestep it with a review. We're just going to review the process. Is the, this kind of, is the government, could they do better in the future about dealing with this stuff? And then he said, no, we're going to review what you guys went over there. And so a guy that's not going to take any sort of legal maneuvers to try to evade the subject. He knows exactly where to go. He knows exactly what we're going to try to do. And he's on the inside. And that is the key part. He's inside the Pentagon now and they have to deal with him. It's not like he's sending him a letter and hoping for a reply. He's in there and they've got, that's what he said. This meeting on the 15th, it was 4 hours long. They had this huge table with all these people there and they brought in everybody. They even brought in the guy that wrote the press release. Because when Danny went public, when they had this first went public, the guy immediately put out the and said, oh, we're going to do this review. And even Danny said, even that guy showed up at the meeting. So they know they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. They're trying to, figure out how to walk around this thing. I don't think they're going to walk around Danny Sheehan, but I've asked him a number of times, do you think you can handle the inspector general? Because the inspector general is supposed to be independent, but we hear all these stories that they shuffle sexual harassment cases down around and stuff like that. And he said, well, we'll see. He just said to me, he said, well, we'll see what happens. I got to see who I'm dealing with and who all this kind of stuff. I think seriously, if Danny Sheehan is on our side, we've got a very good chance to win. Danny Sheehan ain't walking away from the table. I'll guarantee you that.
Yeah. When he's like an old hockey goon. He's like the Dave Semenko or the Dave Schultz of lawyers for the UFO field. And I don't think people fully understand that when Danny always loves dropping the gloves with the United States government. He loves it. He gets off on
with
it.
Yeah. He even said the thing where he said to Harvard when they tried, I can't remember I think he used a swear word, but he when Harvard tried to, and he said, do you understand? Do you understand who you're talking to here? That's Danny. It's like, you know, like they're going to play the game. That's what they did with Mac. We're just going to, you know, we're not going to have any review. We're just going to do this this way. And Danny said, no, this is the way we're going to do it. We're bringing all these people in, and they're going, you're going to what? You're going to bring in a bunch of people. We're not going to have it. Sure. We're going to have a round table, and we're going to bring in all the witnesses in Harvard. I know it's like university. It's like, no way are we having an open hearing where everybody's going to get to debate it. We don't want to debate it. We just want to use our procedures to shut this thing down. And that's what the Pentagon is probably going to try to do. But I just, no way I can see. Danny is on the inside. You have to remember that. He's not on the outside waiting for you to reply to a letter. He's in. And so when Lou Elizondo says, I'm bringing my lawyer, they say, you're bringing her a lawyer. And then all these people appear at the meeting because they realize that that Danny Sheehan is not fooling around.
You know what? I want to focus on Lou Elizondo here for a few minutes here, as we got about 7 minutes before we got to go to break at the bottom of the hour, Grant. And, you know, Lou has stated on numerous podcasts that there's going to be redacted pages. There's going to be top secret pages. Does that not contradict what Marco Rubio said going back to November, that said, we want this out in the public. We want this out in the open. The public has a right to know. And now we're hearing that 70 pages is going to turn into as little as 4 pages or as many as 20 pages that will be released to the public about the UFO phenomena.
No, I think that they're all going to play the game, especially if you're on the Intelligence Committee. If you're chairman of the Intelligence Committee, there's no way you're going to say that I'm going to release all the top secret material. Even Danny said that you won't even see it for the first day. They're going to have it, and they're going to be reading the report themselves. But the Intelligence Committee is going to play the game. They have no idea what's going on. So if the Pentagon says to them, this is top secret, high classification, need to know, all this kind of stuff, I can't see any way that they would do it. But somebody's going to leak it. That's where the media comes in, is everybody who's read the report is going to start leaking it. And that's when it starts to take off, is the explosive parts that they redact, whatever they want to do, somebody's going to leak it. And that's true. It's going to end up, as Danny said, it's going to be on the front page in New York Times within 24 hours. And then they have to answer that question and another question. There's no way you can keep it secret unless you don't have the report. But once they got the report, it's just like a sieve. Everybody that reads it is going to be dropping the stuff. And that's just going to lead to more questions and more questions. And that's why I say it's going to blow up. This is just starting, that once people realize that they've really been had, every reporter is going to be going for a Pulitzer. They're going to realize this is the biggest story of all times. That was the only thing that saved the Pentagon, is that the media wouldn't pick up on it. So they could play these little games. Like I'll tell you the story with Clinton. When Clinton, the story was that Webster Hubble in 1997, in his book Friends and Places, put in the fact that Bill Clinton had asked him to go look at who killed JFK and are there UFOs. Deborah Oren from the New York Post, where Green Street is now, she went in there and she said, okay, is this what is true? And he said, we're not going to comment on that. And she said, is what Hubble put in his book true? Is that true? And he said, we're not going to comment on what personal people put in their personal books. Sat there and waited for the rest of the White House press corps to follow up, because she only gets 2 questions. And she said, they all rolled over and played dead. That was the problem in the White House press room, is nobody wanted to ask the dumb UFO question. Now everybody knows this is for real, and it's the biggest story of all times, and you're going to win a Pulitzer Prize if you can get it. So nobody's going to back off. Nobody's going to roll over and play dead anymore. Every major news thing is on top of it, and they got their best reporters working on it. And all those reporters, whether it's Politico or Wall Street Journal or Washington Post, they've all got their sources, high-level sources inside the Pentagon, and those sources are going to be talking, and it's all going to leak out. So they can do whatever they want. Nothing's going to stop. This is the beginning of the end. It's all just going to unravel very, very quickly. And you're going to see a lot of stuff come out.
Ebert is our guest tonight on Spaced Out Radio. We got just over 3 minutes here, Grant. You know, with Lou and that information that's going to come out, do we expect to see a new face take over ufology? the way that Lou Elizondo has been? Because I'm going to be honest with you, the guy is looking tired.
I say Lou Elizondo is just the sixth messiah. I wrote the book Managing Magic. I talked about five messiahs. Lou is the sixth. He will be crucified like the rest of them. The messiahs do not last in the UFO community. I mean, they have their day in the sun, whether it's DeLong or Bill Moore or Stephen Greer, where these guys at one point walked on water as well. And there's going to be something that will take it down. It's a very cruel world, the UFO world. And so, I mean, it's a tough game. And I just think that he's running, maybe should run for Congress right away. So he cashes in on this, but there's going to be, the UFO community is pretty brutal. You know how it works. There's going to be, someone's going to find something and they're going to unravel it. And I don't know. It's to me, I think he's been picked like all. It's going to be interesting, but I still see the whole thing unraveling that different than other people do. People think this is happening by chance. I say, I'm doing Beyond Managing Magic. 2018, I pulled the book at the very last minute in the final edit, and I'm now going to re-release it. That'll be my fifth book on this subject. I say this has been going on forever. It's the same game they've always played. It's like Bill Moore. They came to Bill Moore in 1980 and he said, "Hey, we're from the government. We're disgusted with how it's going. We want this story out, and we're here to help you." It's the same story.
It really is. But what's the difference today? Is it technology? Is it UFO Twitter? From what I'm hearing from my sources, you got to watch UFO Twitter. You know, whether it's Elizondo, whether it's someone else, and apparently the influx of spies and government officials that are now using handles on UFO Twitter. I mean, this has turned into its own beast. We got 1 minute, Grant.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with the internet is that it goes viral. Things in the old days, we did it like we were in the day when it was pen and paper, when you sent a letter to somebody and waited for Bill Moore to write back, and it was like 2 weeks later. This, everything happens instantaneously, and it's the overwhelming amount of material and publicity that can be produced in minutes on the internet. Things stay secret for that. That's what they're up against. This very viral community that will move. But the big thing is always going to be that the major media realizes they've been had and they're no longer going to play the game and just sort of laugh it off.
Well, we're going to see what happens. As Grant Cameron is our guest tonight on Spaced Out Radio. We got him for another 2 hours here on the big show where we're talking UFOs all night long, where we get into everything from June 25th to who are the players in today's game, because there's a lot of teams and sects that have kind of come together here. Who do we follow? Where are we going to get the right information? Guarantee you that Grant knows. Spaced Out Radio with myself and Grant Cameron, legendary researcher, next on Spaced Out Radio. Stay tuned. Second half hour of Spaced Out Radio is now underway. My name is Dave Scott. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Really do appreciate earning your listening ears. Want to remind you that if you miss portions of this show or others, check out our free archives by going to youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Do me the favor, hit that subscribe button. Our website is spacedoutradio.com, where we have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot and reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio and on Instagram, Spaced Out Radio Show. We continue on with Grant Cameron tonight. Yes, we are getting ever closer to the June 25th date of what will be happening with the UFO files at the Pentagon. And Grant is one of the top researchers in the world, and we love him here in Canada because he is a UFO hero for us. Grant, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Well, we appreciate that, my friend. Yeah. You know what? June 25th, we're going to see a report. I'm guaranteeing we're going to see a report. How do I know that? I don't know, to be honest. I'm just hopeful that we're going to get something. When do you expect the leaks to start?
They've started already, according to Sheehan. They've already started with the idea that they don't have definitive evidence that it's ET, which I think they're probably more accurate. I sort of move away from other people when they go into the ET thing, unless the alien body that they've got, it's got a Zeta Reticuli passport. I don't know how you'd really know where it's from. So they'll play these little word games as to exactly, they don't know where it's from. And Sheehan seems to be claiming that they're not even going to admit that the UFOs are real. They're going to say the videos are real, but the UFOs, because that leads to the question. So, now I've forgotten your question. The leaks. It starts to accelerate. There's going to be a leak, which will lead to another question, which will lead to another leak, which will lead. It's like a viral thing. It's like Watergate. It's like the Trump investigation or stuff like that, where it just picks up steam and it just keeps going and going. And every newspaper is outdoing the next newspaper, leaking stuff, breaking stuff. I think it's, I don't know where it's going to stop, but I think it'll start on June the 25th. This will just be the start where they're trying to figure out how little can they say and get away with it. But I don't think it's going to work.
Now, you don't see someone like Marco Rubio coming out and holding a press conference later that afternoon.
He's going to have to answer questions, but he's not the chair. So he's not much he can do. He can say stuff, but if they get in the situation where the intelligence people start leaking material, they'll just say, we can't talk about it. Even right now. I mean, I say, what's changed now from a year ago? Literally nothing has changed. We know they say, oh, they briefed the Senate. So what did they say? You and I both know that they briefed the Canadians. So what did they say? Nobody knows. Nobody's talking. It's like, oh, it's just another level of secrecy. And so in terms of the idea that everybody's going to suddenly turn and start talking, I don't think that's really going to happen. We have the Senate has not talked. Rubio has been on the thing. He didn't come out and talk about what Eric Davis talked about the crashed saucers and stuff. He's kept very quiet because that's the way the game is played. So I don't really see any major defections. The problem I see is that they're going to be facing these questions. Like, how do you answer the questions? That's why they've avoided it all these years. If you know the whole story with Bill Clinton, told the story of why this thing is never talked about. And he called it was the Arkansas Tar Baby story. That's the thing he told to Lawrence Rockefeller at the ranch. He said, this is like the Arkansas Tar Baby story. You can't touch it, because that's how Brer Rabbit got caught by the fox. They set up the tar baby on the side of the road. Brer Rabbit comes along and he's talking to this little tar baby thing that the guy's built there. And it doesn't respond to his good morning. He punches the tar baby in the head and gets his hand stuck to the tar baby. Then he punches him with the other hand. His other hand is stuck. And then he uses his foot to try to get his hands off. And the next thing you know, he's completely stuck to the tar baby and he's caught. You can't touch the story. So that's what they try to do is as little as possible. But we've already got the leaks and there's going to be piles of questions. And it's going to be like 1952, where there's like 300 people in the room, or when Stephen Greer did the 2001 disclosure thing, the room was more people than when Reagan was in the room. It was absolutely jammed. When the media gets the blood in the water, it's over. I mean, the media will tear this thing apart. And that's where I think so. But on the 25th, you're going to see just a little bit come out and the leaks will start. Maybe even the night before, New York Times or Washington Post, you may even see a scoop the night before. This is what's coming tomorrow. Somebody's going to scoop one of the top pieces of information that they've got. And even the thing where Sheehan was talking about tonight, that there's two more, it appears there's two more 60-minute events coming. So everybody's planning. Everybody's going to try to cash in on this thing. The media is going to make a lot of money. The Trump story has gone down. They used to be their big thing. The newspapers are in trouble. Everybody's looking for the big story to sell all the advertising. They're going to be all over this thing. It's going to be ugly once it gets going for the media, for the government. I sort of have sympathy for these guys, whoever's got to handle this thing.
This story has gone right to the top. President Biden has been read in. Up here in Canada, we can assume that President or Prime Minister Trudeau has been read into the topic as well, except the big wigs are not talking about this. We're seeing Obama talk about it. We're seeing other Congress people talk about it. We're seeing other ex and current government officials talk about it. Why aren't the big guys talking about it? Are they allowed?
Obama said that he was making the jokes about the fact that he had looked and he had found this stuff, but I'm not talking about it. There's been 15 administrations since the Roosevelt administration have had to handle this thing. Every single administration, there's been 8 Democrat, 7 Republican, and every single one of them has done exactly the same thing. And all the Secretary of Defenses have done the same thing. All the CIA directors have done the same thing. And that indicates that behind the scenes, they believe there's a justified reason for why the secrecy is being withheld. Otherwise, somebody would have bailed out and gone rogue. Nobody's gone rogue, which indicates that there's a justified reason. That's why I wrote an article about 15 years ago called "The 64 Reasons They Decided to Not to Tell You the Truth." And I looked at all these potential reasons. Why are they keeping it secret? Why is the president not talking about it? Why are they walking around this thing? And what I was trying to figure out is, if you take a look at the guys who are very vocal about it, one was Gerald Ford. He was very vocal because he was the congressman in the Michigan area where the swamp gas thing happened, and it was very embarrassing, and he was under a lot of pressure from media, and that's how it works. When the media gets on your case, then you got to do something. And he said, we should not only have a congressional investigation, we should take all the military people, put them under oath, and force them to tell us what's going on. He was just furious. And when he got to the White House, he never used the word UFO ever in the White House. Completely shut up once he got there. Same thing happened to Jimmy Carter. I've actually got the audio tape of Jimmy Carter talking to the National Enquirer, where he makes the famous statement, if I become the president, I'm going to release all the material, all the UFO files, except for the classified weapon stuff. And that's the whole thing. That's this classified, where the Rubio is going to come in and rat out, you know, the United States top secrets. He's not going to do that. And Jimmy Carter went into the White House and he didn't use the word UFO once when he was in the White House. He did it before he was president. He did it after he was president. But when he was in the White House, he didn't do it. So what I would with the 64 reasons is to try to look at, how did they flip Jimmy Carter? How did they flip Gerald Ford? How does the president be very vocal on UFOs, and he's very pro UFO, and then he gets in and he doesn't do anything? And that comes to this whole idea that there are things in there that lock the president in where he can't, where they come to him, almost like Jim Semivan. When Jim Semivan had the beings come into his room, and I've told this story many times before, and I think I heard it from a pretty good source, that he had the beings in his room with his wife. And the next morning he went to Ron Pandolfi, the CIA, and he said, I had these beings in my room. I need to know what's going on. And Ron said, you don't have a need to know. And he said, I don't have a need to know. You bring your boss's boss in here. We'll see who doesn't have a need to know. And supposedly they brought in the head of the CIA, and he said to him, Jim, pretend it's a one-off. Leave it alone. It'll ruin your career. Do not touch this subject. And I think they say the same thing to the president. It's the whole idea is one question. If you say one thing, Dave, it leads to another question, which leads to another question, which leads to another question. And I maintain they do not know a lot of the stuff. If there's a conference happened a couple of weeks ago, with Hal Putoff was there. Hal Putoff, and they were having these chats on lines with people and stuff. And one of the comments Hal had made to someone, isn't it the interesting thing is, how does the UFO, when you get a case where the UFO is 30 feet across and the guy goes into the UFO and it's the size of a football field inside? That's the kind of stuff. Anybody tells me the government knows what's going on about that kind of stuff, they haven't got a clue. They understand, yes, we have. Or I asked Jacques Vallée. I did the interview with Jacques Vallée about a month ago. And I asked Jacques Vallée, Jack, did you actually have that meeting back in the Denny's restaurant in the 1980s? And he said, yeah, we had the meeting. The meeting happened between him and Hal Putoff and Kit Green from the CIA. And what they tried to determine was, what do we know for sure? There's a bunch of garbage floating around in the UFO community because Bill Moore and all that stuff was going around and Richard Doty was running around. What do we know for sure? They came up with what's called the core story. We are being interacted by some sort of intelligence. We have hardware and we can't back, and we're doing very poor at the back engineering of the hardware. That I don't think has really changed. That's what Eric Davis said. He said when he put down the Lazar story, he said Lazar's full of it. The stuff isn't even held at it's not even held at Area 51, and they haven't worked on the program since 1989. Well, that was when Lazar was there, and George Knapp talked about this. They take it off the shelf every 7 or 8 years. They look at it, and they still can't figure it out and put it back up. The idea, everybody thinks that the government is like our big brother, and everybody's like Santa Claus. Everybody's waiting for Santa Claus to give us a toy, give us some new stuff. The government will maintain, there may be one person or three people or 10 people that know, but they're way up there where nobody can even know where they are. There's an assumption that's made that the government knows all this sort of stuff. And I always tell the story that I was a facility manager at the University of Manitoba. And at one point I ran 23 buildings and I had the keys to everything. I had keys that would open 10,000 doors. I had the president's office key. I had the vice president, 8 vice president's offices. I had human resources. I had payroll. I had all the keys to everything. And I left 6 months before a major buyout. If I really knew what was going on, do you think I would have left early? The fact that you are inside the government does not mean you know anything. This stuff, the way I believe that it probably works is you have one person in every agency that moves the material up towards the top. And there's only one person read in the Air Force from one in the, and then Navy and this sort of stuff. And it moves up and you will not know if anybody's got the answer up top. And even the president, how's the president? That's what they said to Barack Obama. Did they withhold this stuff from you? And he said, no, they didn't. I was able to find it, but was he able to find out the whole thing? And does anybody know all the answers to what's going on? Or do they know just a little bit? They may know the core story. Yes, we have been visited by something. The UFOs are real. Those videos are real. We've got hardware and we just can't figure this whole thing out because it's so far advanced from what we've got. And that comes out of the 64 reasons. If you start to empathize with the government, you start to realize that there may be very legitimate reasons why, they're withholding it. Or I'll give you another example. We were talking to Dr. Eric Walker, who was a co-developer of the homing torpedo, was chairman of the board of the Institute for Defense Analysis, top military think tank. We were bugging him. Tell us, you're an old man. Tell us what's going on. Because he knew exactly what was going on. He'd been there in 47 when it all started. He said, look, you admit to me, it's just your curiosity. That's all it is. That's all you want. You're curious. And then he said to us, why should we change the rules to satisfy your curiosity? And he was right. Majority of this is just curiosity. It's just people who've got nothing better to do. There's nothing on TV. They used to, in the beginning of the 20th century, we'd go out and channel, or we'd go out and do mediums and talk to dead people with mediums and seances and stuff like that. For a lot of people, this is just curiosity. We just want to know. We just want to know what's going on. And what did Bush say to Jimmy Carter in the president-elect briefing? Curiosity is not sufficient need to know. We don't care if you want to know. They're into the thing. They've got all these weapons, all these threats, potential threats, the evil Chinese and the evil Russians and the evil Japanese and all. There's a million threats all over the world. And we don't really care whether you want to know how our weapons work. We're trying to protect the United States of America from all the evil guys around the world. And we will keep this secret. So curiosity is not sufficient need to know.
Brent, the narrative that is going on is really vanilla compared to what stories you have heard, I have heard, the research that we in the UFO community have done. What's your thoughts on the narrative moving forward here? Because to this point, I believe with the lack of interest at the beginning from the media to the way the media really has fumbled and jumbled this ball that they've been handed about the UFO story. And I don't think that there are a lot of reporters mainstream that have covered this story very well. But that plays right into the government's narrative hands. They knew this was going to happen with the MSM. They knew they were going to catch the mainstream media off guard with this story. Is the media doing its job to try and bring the narrative out, or is the narrative too far gone that the media won't be able to catch up?
No, I disagree with you on the media. I think the media is doing an excellent job. They just started. You got to remember, a couple of years ago, the media didn't even believe this thing was real. I'll give you an example. People don't realize how planned this whole thing was. So Chris Mellon, I was on Coast to Coast in 2016 promoting my book, UFOs, Area 51 and Government Informants. The third hour of that was Chris Mellon. Chris Mellon had just been interviewed by Leslie Kane for Huffington Post. And so Mellon comes on and George says to him, so what do you think about what Grant's saying about the government's leaking the stuff? There's people inside the government that want this out. Nah. If that was happening, I would have known about it. And then a year later, suddenly he's in this meeting with Lou Elizondo and Hal Putoff and Jim Semivan and Leslie Kane. And they sit there for 4 hours and they produce all these videos and stuff like that. I think that the media had no clue. Nobody believed it. And then suddenly it drops into their lap and the New York Times put the story out and suddenly everybody realized this is real. I think the media has done a fantastic job. They're just getting going. They've only had this story for a little while and you've had all these leaks. You've had all this pressure. The government would not be doing what they're doing right now if it weren't for the New York Times having put this story out and promoted it and all the stuff about Lou Elizondo being threatened. All that's leaking out. There's all this, you know, the inspector general had to make a move. Biden faced a question. The president, that's why I said that when Deborah Orrin did it in 1997, nobody would touch it. She said everybody rolled over and played dead because they were afraid to lose their press credentials in the White House, that they just didn't want to do it. Now it's like everybody's scrambling to ask the question. This is a completely different ball game, and I have great faith in the power of the media that they are going to tear this story apart. It may take them a while because it's so well hidden. It's up in above the contractors, and there's probably only a couple of people who know how this whole thing works. But I have great faith that the media is doing will do a fantastic job. I just say the blood is in the water, and when the blood's in the water, the media will absolutely take apart. In Washington, with all the leaks, there's no way they're going to be able to they're just trying to figure out how to minimize the damage for what's going on now, as far as I can see, is trying to figure out what not to say to lead to the next question. But they're going to be facing, I even said years ago, I said, when this thing actually becomes public, you're going to have like thousands of reporters on the White House lawn, all broadcasting live. It's going to be just like a firestorm. And there's no way you can walk around the story. They can't avoid it anymore. Even you have the story where Podesta has now gone to the president and basically told him to handle this thing, to go, and at least he's saying, I think the proper way that Podesta is putting it forward is he's saying to put it in the OSTP. So the disagreement I have with this whole Senate thing is that if we're talking about, oh, we want to know where these things are from and we want to learn about ETs or whatever, why would you go to the Senate Armed Services and the Intelligence Committee? That's got to do with weapons. That's got to do with what Tom DeLonge said in 2016. You know what the advisors say to me? When they talk to each other, they say, what a wonderful recipe for war. That's what they say. And I actually got the audio and I put it on my podcast where he says that. So you have this situation where they're doing the armed services and the intelligence for the weapons and the research money and whatever. We didn't go to the Science and Technology Committee. We didn't go to the Outer Space Committee, but that's gonna come, that all these people are going to be facing these questions and everybody's going to be asked questions. Everybody's going to be looking for it because everybody knows there's a Pulitzer Prize. Somebody's going to win a Pulitzer Prize and everybody's going to try to scoop everybody else on this story. The media, when there's money involved, they have some of the best reporters. I have great faith that it's going to just go viral. It's just going to pick up. You've even seen in the last couple of months, it's just the story gets bigger and bigger and more and more and more stories are coming. And they're almost trying to outdo each other. Where, you know, when 60 Minutes gets involved three times, then you know that everybody realizes that there's a story here and they're going to put their, as Blumenthal said, their best reporters are working on this story now. The people with the national security backgrounds, and they've all got the sources inside the Pentagon. They know who to talk to. They know all the games that are played, and somebody in the Pentagon is going to squeal. You can't keep a secret in Washington once people know, you know, that there's an actual story there.
Brent Cameron is our guest tonight on Spaced Out Radio. We had 3 minutes before we got to go to break at the top of the hour. And Grant, I'm curious for you, as we see this ball rolling and it is gaining speed, rolling down the hill, and it is looking good, it's feeling good, you know, but I still wonder if the narrative that is being played by the government is really to keep the public at bay, because the way I was told by somebody recently is that there are three phases to this thing. The first phase was to get it out there, which they did.
Okay. Let me ask you first before we go to break. I mean, what narrative do you say the government's putting out? I don't think the government's putting out anything. I think they're playing total defense now. They got ambushed by this whole thing. They have no clue. That's this whole deal. When Lou Elizondo went rogue, this guy threatened them. We're taking you down, man, because you broke ranks here and you went out there. So I don't know what narrative you're talking about. I don't think the government's playing a narrative. They may have been leaking. I say there's people in the government. So when Leslie Kane gets the phone call and says, come to Washington, and she goes there, and Lou Elizondo's in the room, and Jim Semivan's in the room, and Hal Puthoff's in the room, and Chris Mellon's in the room, they're dropping it. But that's not the government. That is people. They're all retired guys. And it's like Tom DeLonge. When Tom DeLonge first got sent to Washington by Lockheed Skunk Works, he went to these two guys in this room, and they said to him, things like this do not happen at the White House. They do not happen on the Hill. They happen when people like this behind tables decide to take the football and move it down the field. This is people inside the government who are pushing this narrative out. Inside the government, there's going to be a lot of people. You're going to have this Collins elite people that are going to try to stop it. You're going to have the military, people who want the secrecy to keep going. There's all these battles inside the government. The government is not unified, so I'm not really sure what narrative that you think the government's putting out. I think they're playing total defense now. They have no idea what to do. They're just trying to minimize the damage because it's all falling apart on them.
I can see where you're going with that. But here's the thing. I think there's a bigger picture when I say narrative, because look, it's all about UAP. What is getting into our airspace? That's phase one. Phase two is admitting that it's not Russia. It's not China. It is something anomalous. It's not of this world. That's phase two. Later on down the road, they'll switch to phase three, which is the ETs are here, or the extra dimensionals, or the interdimensionals, or whatever.
But where I would disagree is I would say Elizondo put that narrative out. Elizondo, Chris Mellon, Jim Semivan, and Leslie Kane and Hal Puthoff were in a room. And for 4 hours, they told the New York Times, they gave them the videos. Those videos were out over 4 weeks before Tom DeLonge went public. They were already in the public domain. They had come through the Pentagon parking lot. They were out already. The narrative is being composed by people like Hal Puthoff and all these guys who want this thing out. They were the ones that had the meeting. It wasn't the government that made it. Was all these retired people and Hal Puthoff who met with Leslie Kane for 4 hours in Washington, D.C. And she said they basically laid out the story for us. All the New York Times had to do is take the videos, take all their documents they've been shown, the Reid stuff, and put it into a news article. That story was given to them. And the Washington Post went on the same day, and so did Politico. And if it took Washington Post New York Times 3 months to do the story, it took the Washington Post 3 months, and Politico, they all were working on the story. They were all leaked the story, but it was by people inside the government who wanted it out. I don't believe it was the government. The government wants it secret.
Grant Cameron, Dave Scott, two good Canadian kids talking about the UFO phenomena. What's going to be coming on June 25th? We're going to keep this heated topic going when we come back from the break at the top of the hour here. Stay tuned. Hour two of Spaced Out Radio starts right after this. Here we go with hour number two of Spaced Out Radio tonight. My name is Dave Scott. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Really do appreciate earning your listening ears. If wherever you are on this beautiful planet we call Earth, want to say hello to everyone listening in on our terrestrial affiliates around North America, digitally on TalkStream Live, Revolution Radio, and KPNL. All of our archives are free by going to youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Just do me the favor, hit that subscribe button. The Desert Clam has set the password for tonight in the SOR Space Travelers Club. Meta-analysis. Meta-analysis is your password. Use it wisely, space travelers, as the clam sets the password each and every night, right here on Spaced Out Radio. Our website is spacedoutradio.com, where we have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot and reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio and on Instagram, Spaced Out Radio Show. We continue on with a great topic of discussion for tonight, UFOs, June 25th. The legendary Grant Cameron is here. Grant, welcome back.
Thanks. Let me make one more point about this government thing. The Lou Elizondo resigned in the morning on October the 4th. The meeting with the New York Times was in the afternoon. Chris Mellon had not worked for the U.S. government since 2004. Bill Moore's number one source, the Falcon guy, was retired DIA or, probably, I think it was DIA, but retired DIA guy. All these people are retired. So there was nobody actually in the government that made the leak. It was all done by Semivan was retired. Mellon had been retired for almost two decades. Elizondo just retired. That's the game that you see they play, this plausible deniability that people leave the government and then suddenly they are able to talk. That's what they said to Jim Semivan, or that's a story I heard, that Jim Semivan was told, leave it alone. And then I was told that the day he retired in 2008, he was actually briefed on what was going on and went into the, that's, and Lua, and Kit Green also said the same thing to Richard Dolan, is that you don't really have a high security clearance when you're in the government, but when you leave the government, that's, if you're going into a contractor, that's when you actually get the clearance to actually know what's going on.
So, you know, Nicole has entered our chat room. It's official.
Well, there
Nicole
you go.
Has entered our chat room. We can now restart the show and get it going properly now. Thank you, Nicole, for joining us. Really appreciate you. All right, Grant, the hype around UFOs.
Yeah.
Are they real? Are they ours? Are they theirs? The one thing, I had a talk with somebody in the media, and we brought this up during our media panel last night. What would be the consequences in the media and the, let's say, the government in general, if Chris Mellon and Lou Elizondo, who have been the faces of this to the mainstream, all of a sudden stopped using the words Russia and China?
Yeah, I that always confuses me, because Sheehan was again tonight saying, you know, this thing about they're still pushing this narrative about Russia and China. I still don't understand why Lou Elizondo keeps, they're still on this threat thing. You know, it's a potential threat and all this kind of stuff. But that's where people will want to go. They'll try to push it there. And if it doesn't work, well, then they'll have to leave it. But the government is going to try to imply this, because it's either that or you go down. I mean, the whole thing's going to burn up and blow up in your face. So this Russia-China thing is, it's just another example of the fear, that this is all based on fear. It's all based on the military threats. Everybody's our enemy. It's us versus you. The message of the beings is always the oneness message. So the China thing, it's just, I mean, it's a total joke. It's like, you know, now we're even off UFOs. We're still now really starting to hammer China. And I remember in the couple of years ago, or even last year, the QAnon people were saying to me, oh, China is on the Canadian government border and they're about to invade the United States. And I went, seriously? And they said, yeah, it's for sure. And I said, well, no, I live on the Canadian border. Let me guarantee you, China is not on the Canadian border about to invade. And it's the old idea, like, we can build an enemy. So there's always these straw, you know, things that we build. China has one base outside of China, one base. The United States has 800 bases outside the United States of America. And yet China is this big threat that they're going to, you know, come in and take over the world and stuff like that. So these things get thrown around. They're probably still going to throw around the drone thing. And I just don't understand. Because I hear one thing where, you know, Jim Sheehan is saying that they don't believe the threat thing. They're upset about the threat thing. And yet they come back out and they're on the threat thing. Almost like John Alexander said that when they did the 1980 thing, when they were trying to get the money for their program, this Advanced Physics Theoretical Working Group, he said, we use the threat thing too. Because if you don't do the threat thing, you're not getting any money. When the Obama administration was going, the big game in town was Leslie Kane. It wasn't Lou Elizondo. And Leslie Kane wrote the book, and John Podesta did the forward to the book. And in that book, they say that the big problem that we need money for research is because UFOs may be a threat to airline traffic. Well, I mean, everybody just sort of laughed that off, I guess, and it didn't go anywhere. So the threat thing, I think a lot of that is just trying to create the fear, like a business move. We got a cure to cancer. We're going to create a need, and we're here. We're the guys that will solve your problem. You become the sheep. We become the shepherd, and we take your money.
And that's just the way it is. I mean,
how it works.
Where do they want this to go in the real life world? What do they want to happen in the public eye?
Who's they? Who are you referring to?
The government. the government as this story progresses.
I think that's where I disagree. I think the government wants this thing to go away. They do not want to handle this thing. What happened is Lou Elizondo resigned on October the 4th in the afternoon. He had a meeting with the New York Times, and it all blew up, and suddenly they had a thing which they couldn't handle. They're going to try to, that's why they changed all this stuff. No, Lou Elizondo didn't work for the Defense Department. They tried to kill it every way from Sunday to kill this thing, and they couldn't kill it, and it's getting out of hand, and now they're trying to figure out how to minimize the damage. It's like a hockey game where you pull the goalie and you're just getting run out of the rink. This is what's happening. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do. So I think that they're in a very bad position. They don't know what to do. That's why they're trying to delay Danny Sheehan. They're saying, okay, we don't really know whether we have the authority to do an investigation. We don't know if we have the ability and the authority to do the thing. And that's when Danny says, okay, well, I'll put up with this for so long, but we're only going to play this game about doing a review for so long. We want an investigation. We want this thing taken all the way. And so that's where the situation is very dire for the American government. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think any of them wanted this thing out. It was silence, and because you can investigate privately behind the scenes, the same as you have the people. There's all sorts of reasons for secrecy. When I did the 64 reasons, you even take majority of the people that you take a look. Lou Elizondo's got patents. Hal Puthoff's got patents. Gary Nolan's got patents. If you take a look, and Tyler D's got patents. If you take a look, people realize if you're inside the government, say you are working on this for the government on a program, are you going to release what you've got before you get a patent? Absolutely not. I mean, I know that Tyler D on the one that he told me the invention he got from the beings, and this is directly from the beings, this was from the government. He made huge money on this thing. There is a lot of money to be made if you happen to get a patent on this kind of technology, this leading edge technology. So there's so many reasons for the cover up, and the government's thing is it's just a real hot potato. And in fact, that's what Kissinger was supposedly to have said. This is the biggest hot potato of all time. Do not touch this thing because it's just dire. You just keep it quiet, work in the background. Or why I should say with the briefing with the president, when you do the briefing of the president, you go into the president. If I was the advisor to the president, I'd say, Mr. President, we still can drill another oil well. Nobody's dying. There's nobody dying in the streets, Mr. President. There is no emergency here. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Give us another 5 years, Mr. President, because we don't have all the answers. You give us another 5 years, we'll come back in 5 years. We'll have more answers than we have now. The longer we delay this thing, the more we're going to be able to understand if these aliens are here to eat us or whatever's going to go on. And the president's going to go, okay, yeah, drill another oil well in Alaska. Nobody wants to touch this thing. Nobody, because that's the situation it's in now that is blowing up. And these poor guys have got to try to shut this thing down. And that's why they made this thing to the press people, is to quit making statements, because every time you make a statement, you contradict somebody in another part of the Defense Department, and it leads to another 300 FOIAs. And they said, enough, quit talking, because you're just making this, you're digging the hole deeper. They're in a real bad position, the U.S. government. I don't know what they're going to do, because I'm guarantee you this thing is blowing up in their face. They have no idea what to do. They're just trying to minimize the damage. And they don't know, because the government official people, they come in like the president. I mean, what's he going to do? He's like, try to stay off the record. What's going on? What am I going to do? What's our best scenario? You know, we're going to lose the next election over this. I mean, there's so many things that come into play. Politicians, they're not in there to do anything for you and I. They're there to get reelected. They want they have Exxon Oil and all these people that are funding their campaigns. They've got to be sure that they don't offend all those guys. Politics is not, we have this idea that government is our big brother and they're Santa Claus and they're doing stuff for us. And it's as dirty a business as anything else. Everybody's in the bag. People used to say to me, why doesn't Hillary Clinton talk? And I said, the top thing was, I think, $35,000 for a dinner thing where you give these donation things. I said, if you go one of these Hillary Clinton dinners and you put $35,000, let me guarantee you Hillary Clinton will answer some of your questions. But why would they talk to you if you're not donating? They have people giving them millions of dollars. These are the people that are running the show, is the people that are funding the presidential campaigns and the congressional campaigns. And congressmen are just trying to stay alive, and they don't need this. They really don't want to handle this when they don't have all the answers. And the government, I guarantee you, they do not have as many answers as people think. And as long as they don't have answers, why would you go out and just seal a number of questions. You put the president on the spot. So the president comes out and he's going, well, yeah. And he looks like a total idiot. He's supposed to be that most powerful guy in the world, has the answers to everything. He doesn't have the answers to this. And it's like, you do not put him out there in front of the wolves, all these reporters, when you don't have any answers to anything and there's nothing you can do about it. The phenomena, as Jim Semivan said, when John Alexander said, who's running the show? And I guess he was talking about the government. And Jim Semivan said, they are. They're in control. They have started the disclosure. That's what they did at the Nimitz thing. Why do they drop down from 80,000 feet to above sea level in 7/8 of a second? What is that, a pre-abduction maneuver? No, it's theory of wow. They're going, look at this. Hey, Zogar, go into the water, make some bubbles. Here they come with the F-18s. And they just set this whole thing up. The phenomena has forced this thing out. They have forced these sightings. They have forced all this kind of stuff. And the people inside the government got upset. People who have worked on the thing and wanted it out believed it was being stovepiped, where it was in the black ops thing, like Hal Puthoff, where you can't get any research money, you can't get anything. If you get it out of the black ops, then Hal Puthoff's going to have some money for his zero-point energy theory. Right now, he's still in the Looney Tune bin where he can't get any of the black ops money, where even the money, the $22 million, the whole idea was they got the next funding thing and it got stolen by another department. So what I think these guys are trying to do is they're trying to force it into the white world so guys like Hal Puthoff and Gary Nolan and people can get money to research this thing. Because in the black world, as Valet and numerous people have shown, is you get a flying saucer and you give one piece to 3M and you give another piece to Lockheed and you give another piece to Battelle, and nobody's talking to each other and nobody's figuring anything out because there's no cooperation. There's nobody working together. And that's what they wanted in the white world, where they can get research money. Because right now, Hal's probably just struggling to get any research money for anything. This is going to take a lot of money to unravel this situation. So I believe it's people inside the government who retire, who are upset, who want to move the ball down the field, and they start moving this stuff out. And they have done it a really good job in terms of blowing the whole place up, where now the government has got to try to shut the door and it's too late. The horse is out of the barn. There's no way they're putting it back in the barn, as far as I'm concerned.
Before we get to some audience questions here, Grant, in regards to the idea that this is a story that many in the government do not know, who is in the know? Who's controlling the shots then, for people who may not understand that?
Well, it comes on a need to know basis. So I disagree with a lot of people. They think the president doesn't know. And I say, absolutely, the president knows a lot more than what you think. The president is smart enough to sort of keep away from it, because it gives you plausible deniability. If you don't deal with the subject, then when someone says to you, what do you know about UFOs? And they say, I don't know anything. Because you told them, don't tell me anything about it, because they'll tell you it's a hot subject. Don't, like Jim Sullivan, do not touch this thing. This will destroy you if you touch this thing. It's the tar baby story. So they move it out. So you're going to have, I believe there's an MJ-12. I've written about it in a number of books. There's a pile of people, high-level people, who confirmed, yes, there is a control group. Anybody thinks that, they'll say, oh, the MJ-12 document was phony. Yeah, the document was phony, but that doesn't mean that the group didn't exist. Anybody who thinks that the government didn't create an elusive group in 1947 to handle this situation is totally off their rocker. They're insane. The government will absolutely have a top group. They had what was called the Tiger Committee that Kit Green was supposed to be on, looking at technology 50 years down the road. They're all over this stuff. But it's very secret. So the number of people that might know are very high up. And the people that would know what's going on aren't going to talk. There was one scientist that was confronted about this and asked, could you name the 12 guys who are running the show? And he said, yeah, I probably could, but I would never tell you, because you're going to go to the New York Times. I will have to deny it and nobody will ever talk to me again. And that's the other reason why a lot of the people in the know will not talk, is because they're trying to figure it out as well. Like Hal Puthoff and Eric Davis and all these guys, they're trying to figure it out as well. And if you talk, all your sources dry up. I know that for a fact, because a lot of the Avery stopped talking to me when I talked. He said, Cameron's got a big mouth. Don't tell him anything. He'll tell everybody everything. And that's what happens. Your sources dry up when you will not keep a secret. So everybody's keeping these secrets. Everybody's trying to get the next piece of the puzzle. Everybody's trying to get a patent. And it's a vicious circle game, where there are very limited numbers of people. So the president might know. And I even brought up one that people didn't know. And that was that the President Johnson actually did a UFO study. Everybody thought, oh, the president doesn't know. The president isn't briefed in. There's all these crazy people who've got security over top of the president. The president doesn't have a security clearance. The president is the guy that's in charge of security. Top secret, secret, confidential. That was all created by the president. It goes through the executive office. It's not a law. The president runs the secrecy show. And so the president doesn't have a security clearance. They will move a mountain for the president. If the president decides he wants something, they will move a mountain for the president. But they will try to keep it away from the president because it gives him plausible deniability. There'll be very few people who know how this thing actually operates. And I still think that even they don't know. DeLong talked about the one where he's in Lockheed Skunk Works and he's talking to a head scientist. A head scientist said, hey, tell me how this thing works. And because DeLong had been hanging around with Stephen Greer, he said, oh, I think consciousness is involved. And the head scientist said, now you're talking. And for 45 minutes, that's all Tom DeLong said the guy wanted to talk about was consciousness. So they may know there's a consciousness interface. Because with the Wilson leak document, at the end of the Wilson leak document, it says, we have a craft, we think it'll fly. That means they got a craft and they can't even turn it on because it needs a consciousness interface. So even the highest level guys are still trying to figure out the thing. And it comes down to the idea of the threat. Like everybody's an enemy. When you're in the Defense Department, everybody's your enemy. You don't have a budget unless you have an enemy. You need to have an enemy. And if you don't have an enemy, it's like David Frum, whose mother was a CBC reporter. Diana Frum, who ran the big show on CBC, As It Happens. And he was the speechwriter for President Bush. And when they had the Iraq thing, the president's speechwriter came to David Frum and said, we need you to find a justification for war. And he came up with the axis of evil, Iran, Iraq, North Korea. And then his wife leaked it and said, oh, my husband wrote that speech for the president. And he got fired on the spot because, no, you don't say that. The president came up with that idea. And it's this idea that we have enemies. So everybody's going to keep quiet because they all believe that they need this to fight off the enemy guys. And they're not talking. There's so many reasons for secrecy. And Lou Elizondo and these guys absolutely blew up the place and made a situation was very hard for the government to deal with. But it's not the first time it's happened. They leaked the stuff to Tom DeLong, and that all fell apart. He had just three big guys. He had Robert Weiss from Lockheed Skunk Works, which is on his team. He had the head of Space Command, and he had the two-star general from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base that had run the lab where the Roswell stuff went. And because Podesta's emails leaked, they had to drop it. This thing was going to drop when Hillary Clinton was elected. And I was told that. And so I said, I phoned up the people I knew. And I said, as soon as Hillary lost the election, I said, are they going to drop it? Because they kept telling me they're dropping this thing. They're going to drop this disclosure. This is going to happen. I knew this in 2016. It's in my book, 2017, February. It's in there. I describe exactly what has happened now. And they said, oh, yeah, it's bigger than ever. But they had to redo the thing because like Weiss and McKay and McCaslin had to go back in the closet. They still may be around, but they had to go in the closet and they had to bring in the farm team. And I say that Elizondo and Mellon and all these guys are the farm team because Mellon didn't know in 2016. He was on coast to coast with me. He didn't know anything at that point. So he had not been brought into the loop yet. And so they bring these guys in and they had to rerun it again. And it took them till October of 2017 to put the next thing in play. But they've done a wonderful job in terms of moving this out. Bill Moore was the same thing. He had 24 sources that were leaking stuff to him. And they had the same thing. We're in the government. We want this thing out. We're going to help you. I'm a retired guy. I'm clear. And they started leaking stuff to Bill Moore. It's the same thing what they did with Emmenegger. They gave Emmenegger the channeling story. The Canadians were channeling this alien by the name of Alpha. Well, Art Lundahl, who was the head of the Weird Desk, went to Robert Emmenegger in 1974 and said, we want to tell you this story about the CIA channeling an alien. And they put it in this documentary, UFOs, Past, Present, and Future. They didn't have to do that. So there's people inside the government because Art Lundahl was very interested in UFOs. He was the CIA guy. He was fascinated in the story, and they were leaking this material out. But when Bob asked him to go on camera, he said, I can't go on camera. I'm on duty. I can't do it. So they put Robert Friend from Blue Book to tell the story. But this stuff has been leaking. Walt Disney in the 1950s was told to do a documentary. We'll give the UFOs. We'll give you the films and all that kind of stuff. Walt Disney did a documentary. They've been doing this forever. It's the same story, but it's people inside the government who think that they want this stuff out. But I don't think the government itself really knows. The government is a big, big place with a lot of different departments. And as I said, I had the keys to everything at the University of Manitoba. I didn't know what was going on. I knew my little job. I didn't know what my boss was doing. I didn't know what the guy in the next room was doing. And that's how the government works. Just because you're in the government doesn't mean you know what's going on. Very few people will understand exactly what is going on here. And they have it compartmentalized where one guy moves the stuff up. Even his boss doesn't know. The stuff is going over the boss and up and up and up. And one guy, somebody up there is collecting all the gun camera footage. Someone is gathering all the material. You see all these experiences with in the 60s, even Nancy Tremaine, where I did the Nancy Tremaine story. She was before Betty and Barney Hill. She was abducted in Michigan. And she talks about the fact that the military was there immediately. And they were talking to all the people on the street and they were trying to talk to her. So how does the military know that? There's somebody gathering the material. But I say good luck in trying to find those people, because they've spent 70 years and they've perfected exactly how to keep this, how to keep it so high level. Even in 1948, when Truman was doing the UFO thing, he brought in General Landry, and he said to Landry, I want to know about UFOs. I want you to go to the CIA. I want you to come to me every 3 months and give me an oral briefing on UFOs. Therefore, if they were doing oral briefings in 1948, they know how to cover this thing up.
Grant Jack Sarfati, as we go to break here, says to us on Twitter, it has happened, but you guys are too clueless to understand what is going on. I'll get you to react to that. We're going to get to some audience questions when we come back. Grant Cameron continues with us on Spaced Out Radio right after this. We passed the halfway point of Spaced Out Radio tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Dave Scott. Appreciate you tuning us on in. Thank you so much for doing that. Want to remind you that if you missed most of this show or others, check out our free archives by going to youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Do me the favor, hit that subscribe button. Our website is spacedoutradio.com, where we have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot, reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio and on Instagram, Spaced Out Radio Show. Grant Cameron is here. We're taking your questions if you're in our audience or on Twitter, and we would love to have you guys in our chat rooms ask away. Grant Cameron, of course, one of the legends of the UFO field, watching the coming June 25th date very, very carefully. Grant, we're going to start off with And One's question. Is there anything new on Extra Dimensions talking about this subject?
Well, if you saw the interview that Lou Elizondo did with Debrief, where they said, is this on world or off world? And he went, well, hang on, there's other options. And he starts down this rabbit hole. And I remember Yossi Ronan, who's an experiencer from Israel, noticed it as well. And he came to me and said, did you see what Lou said? And I said, yeah, I saw what Lou said. And it's this whole idea is, this is this idea where they're saying, we don't have definitive proof that it's ET. The thing is, I think it's going to have this interdimensional aspect to this thing. This is going to be more complex than we think. And when you see Lou Elizondo hinting at this, then you suddenly realize, like, this may be actually real, or where, Jim Semivan says it's ultra-terrestrials, they created us. You start to see that the ET is not the only option. So multi-dimensions, I think, is a big part of this thing. The world is getting more complex as we go along. And that's where I always have the stuff about aliens, where, like, in 1890, there were wooden ships were flying around, and then they would land, and then they'd say, where are you from? And they would say, we're from Mars. And so they had these wooden ships, and the people actually believed that these wooden ships had flown from Mars on these wooden ships. And then it changed to Foo Fighters, and then it turned to the green fireballs. Then it turned to the Adamski crafts, and it turned to Betty and Barney Hill's type of craft with the windows. And then it was triangles, and it just keeps changing. And the beings change from Mars. And I remember the Canadians were
You froze on us, Grant. You froze on us. So we'll just try and get you back here quickly here. Let's see if we can get you right back here. Is for some reason, Grant has been having a little bit of internet issue beginning of the show and then right up to now here. So we are working on it with you here to try and get Grant back on. But basically what he's saying here in the long run is, you know, in regards to the dimensions, Lou Elizondo, if you look at all the other shows that he has been on, he gives these little Easter eggs. He tries to give these little Easter egg hints to what we are literally going through right now. Like recently when he was saying about what type of dimensions are these from, on another show, he was saying along the lines of that he believes the ETs are here. He believes that, you know, we call them ETs. Maybe we shouldn't call them ETs because they could be interdimensional. They could be inner Earth. They could be absolutely everything going on with that. So we're just waiting for Grant Cameron to return here momentarily on the show. But I mean, that's some of the issues that we need to try and figure out moving forward, getting closer to the edge of June 25th here. And we're going to bring on Grant momentarily here as it loads on up. And Grant, are you with us now?
I'm back. Yeah, awesome. I got. Anyway, so hopefully an air holds up here.
But, all right, let's. You want to continue with this question, or yeah, do you want to move on?
Yeah, no, I'm going to finish this question because people have this. The concept keeps changing. So the aliens said they were from Mars and Venus, and they were from the Moon, and the Canadians were channeling Alpha. And Alpha claimed he was from Uranus, which is like 300 degrees below zero. And I remember the metallurgist in Ottawa said to me, he says, I'll tell you what, Grant, let me make this very clear. Neither Wilbur Smith nor myself ever believed he was from Uranus. And so then it was they were from the Pleiades. And so why would you use Pleiades? There's 800 different stars there. Why would you use that? And then we're from Zeta Reticuli. And then suddenly we got into the multidimensionals. Now they're from the fifth dimension, the 11th dimension. And I really start to wonder whether they're actually from anywhere, or as the beings told me when I did this interview with these beings in England, where they said to me, we've always been here. You're the visitor. And this, you see, now you start to see this whole thing about everything's one. There's no time. There's no space. It's all here. It's all now. More and more beings are saying, Nancy Tremaine's being said, we've always been here. We are not from anywhere. We're right from here. So the idea of what these beings are, where they're from, or the universe is getting much more complex as we move along here. And anybody that thinks they understand it, I think needs to get their head checked.
All right. Joe is asking on Facebook. Now, where's your question? Grant, do you think the military is going to go on alert because of what might be said in this report?
No, I don't see why. I don't think so. I mean, unless they can, unless it comes out where it's a threat or something. No, I don't see the military. The military's totally clued out, and they just take orders from people above them. So it would have to be the top people in the military that would panic. I don't think that's what Lou Elizondo was supposedly telling Sheehan. None of the high ranking people think this is a threat. So no, I don't think so.
All right, let's get to Hector's question. At this point, how sure are we about the Roswell incident?
Well, what I find interesting about the Roswell incident is the thing that I asked Jacques Vallée. Because if you remember, there was an interview done with George Knapp and Bob Bigelow. And Bob Bigelow, whatever you want to think about him, knows a few things that you and I don't know. He hired all of the top people. He was bringing in Kit Green and help it off and picking everybody's brain and picking the six meetings a year. Edgar Mitchell, the top people in the world he was bringing in. And when he was asked about the Roswell thing, he said, yeah, he said Roswell happened. He said, yeah. But they also had, it was a crash in Russia, it was a crash in China, it was a crash in South America. I think they're seeding them, that they're dropping them. And then Tyler D, and I asked Ryan Bledsoe about this. I said, did Tyler D actually tell you it was the gifting field? And he said, yeah, he used those words with me. So when he took Diane Pasulka and Gary Nolan to this field that my friend showed Tyler D where it was in New Mexico, where all this metal was, they called it the gifting field as if they're dropping it. And that's what, so I asked Jacques Vallée. I said, Jacques, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, that these things would come across the galaxy and then get hit by lightning and crash. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Or that they come across the universe and little pieces start falling off the flying saucer. I said, don't you think this is like, and I said to Hal Puthoff, I said, this is a port material. This is like, you know, stuff that was happening in the lab in the 1970s where this Edgar Mitchell's pin would fall in the back and it would appear in Uri Geller's ice cream and stuff like that. And I said, you know, this, it looks like they're gifting this stuff. And then Jacques Vallée said, I think I came up with that idea. And that's what I believe is that that's where we're making these false assumptions. We're believing that we're shooting this stuff down like Greer's shooting this, saying we're shooting. We're not shooting anything down. There's no way we have this thing is running the show. And I call it the theory of wow. They're doing all this weird stuff. They're dropping stuff. They're just making us scratch our heads and realize we're not alone. So the Roswell thing. Yeah, I think so. But I have a different opinion of what may have actually gone on there. But there was one thing about the Roswell crash that I looked at later, and that was the Canadian government document. You know, the top secret document, one of the few top secret documents was the Canadian flying saucers exist. We were told by American officials, flying saucers exist. It's the most highly classified subject in the United States. There's a small group headed by Dr. Vannevar Bush. You're trying to figure out what's going on. The subject is of tremendous significance to the Americans. And we were also told by the American officials that mental phenomena is involved because the Americans aren't doing very well. They said if we're working on it, they're willing to exchange credentials and talk to us. So in November of 1950, the Americans told the Canadians that mental phenomena may be involved. How would they know that? Because there was no aliens until a couple of days after the detonation of the hydrogen bomb, the first test in 1952, when Adamski came forward. Before that, there was no aliens. Nobody was talking to aliens. There was stuff flying around, but there was no aliens. And so how did they know that aliens were telepathic, that there was this mental thing? And it may have been because the original story was there was four dead aliens at Roswell. And then the later story was there was three dead and one live, and that the live one was talking in people's heads. That may be how the Americans knew there was this mental phenomena and told the Canadians. And then Wilbur Smith picked up on this and spent a lot of time. And now we're into this thing. And we know consciousness is a key to this whole thing.
All right. Jennifer's question. In your opinion, Grant, why do you think they waited until now to tell us the stuff coming June 25th?
Well, I say it's not the government. I say it was Lou Elizondo and Hal Puthoff and all these guys. Lou Elizondo retired in the morning. In the afternoon, they told Leslie Kane to fly to Washington. These people were sitting. They were in a hotel lobby. They were all there. Chris Mellon was there. He had just been brought in because he didn't know in 2016 what was going on. And that's when they dropped the story. So it's the retired people that want the story out that were doing it. It's not the government. So the government is, again, they're playing defense as far as I'm concerned. They did not expect this. They did not want this to happen. They didn't want Lou Elizondo to go to the New York Times. They did not want those films leaked out. They did not give. And I always say to people, how do you think the films got out? And now Mellon's admitting, I said it right from the word go, you do not, when you resign in disgust from the Department of Defense, they don't give you three videos as your goodbye present, as you're walking out the door. Those things were moved out. I don't care if they're declassified or whatever. Someone moved them out. It was not legal the way they moved them out. You do not walk out with material out of the Pentagon. And those videos were out already before. So this was all planned, but it was not the government. The government, that's the last thing the government wanted, was to blow up the place with UFO disclosure. This, I believe, is people inside the government who have forced the issue, who have forced the government into this very difficult position where they have to play defense and they don't know what to do. And even Elizondo says he's ready to play hardball. I mean, if they weren't going to go after him, he's ready to play hardball. He'll stay inside his security clearances, but he's not fooling around. This is serious stuff to him. He didn't just resign because he had nothing better to do. These guys are very serious about what they're doing. And the government, I cannot see the government would want to get themselves in the situation. The best way to handle a UFO thing is to say nothing, pretend it's not going on. You can research in the background. You can do whatever you want. I don't think the government planned this.
All right. Armando is asking, do you have any updates on Joe Firmage's lawsuit, how to evaluate techno scam angles on disclosure?
Well, that's Jack Sarfatti's buddy, Ron Pandolfi. He's back I'm back on Sarfatti's list, which I got kicked off because I didn't have the ethics. I kept talking or whatever. People got upset, but Pandolfi is there, and there this chatter is going on again. That's what the techno scam thing, to explain that. Ron Pandolfi said, I remember when Tom DeLonge was going public, I got Dan Smith, who's the spokesman for Ron for many years, would sort of plausible deniability leak stuff. And I said to Dan, come on. Tom DeLonge's having this news conference. I want you to get on here and then ask Ron in the afternoon. You know what Ron's comment was? He said, it's a techno scam. I know all these guys. Mellon was into UFOs in the 1980s. I know everybody that was on that panel. And he's talked about it. And that sort of makes sense. At first, I thought it was crazy. But he keeps repeating it over and over. He's been repeating it for 3 years. This idea, he said that, first of all, they went after, and this is this idea of funding, that if you're in the outside world and you're trying to get funding for UFO research, you can't get it. So he said, like, Firmage used to, he had money. And they, according to Ron Pendolfi, all these guys that are pushing this stuff now took all Firmage's money. Firmage had a lot of money, and he had this idea about these gyros, and he was trying to levitate this thing off the table. And because he couldn't levitate it off the table, it indicated to me the government really doesn't have what the people think they have if he can't levitate something off the table 1 inch. But he ran out of money, and then they talked about Church's Chicken. They went after this guy. They went after these billionaires. According to Ron Pendolfi, all these billionaires who'd rather get into a scam rather than pay their damn taxes. And so he kept calling it a techno scam, that this was just a thing where people are putting out, we got a cure to cancer. We've got the UFO thing all figured out. We're going to get it. We need $5 billion. And you add the little threat to it. So Ron's always been very confirmed on that. I've seen a lot of emails that he sent to different people, and he maintains that story, right or wrong. He keeps maintaining that story, that this is just an effort to get money for guys who stuff that isn't going to work, that he claims they have no clue what's going on. And he's the one that leaks the whole stuff about the portal, the idea that the anti-gravity, that's where I got the idea that the anti-gravity stuff may be all nonsense. But every time you start running down the portal thing, you hear these stories that indicate, yeah, this portal thing may actually be right. And this is this thing where Kit Green told Peniston, we're trying to figure out how do they pop in and pop out just as quickly. We're trying to figure out how to do how they work interdimensionally. So Kit Green actually told that to Peniston, and that's in Peniston's book.
All right. Avi is asking, when do you think abductions will be acknowledged?
Well, they're acknowledged now. The question is, what are abductions? The more we look at it, the more you start looking at this idea that there's an event taking place, but there's a lot of dispute about whether it's actually the event people think it is. And I can give you an example where my friend Ron Johnson from Utah has had a lot of experiences with LB, is the being that he deals with. And he's been taken numerous times, but he keeps describing it as like an out-of-body experience. The first one was very physical, but after that, the being actually took him into the spirit world. And he was with his mother in the spirit world. And this is where he tells the story, where he goes in this building, and it's 10 times the size inside as it is outside. His mother takes him in this building, and you start seeing these crossovers with out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences. I have a friend, we're about to do an interview, he's an artificial intelligence guy working on DMT, and he told me he had the one experience with the DMT. He said, I had a classic abduction experience. And this is why one of the reasons I heard that Strassman got out of DMT is he could not come to grips with the fact that 39% of all people doing DMT run into a being. And that about half of those have the abduction experience. So they're doing DMT. They're on a couch. They ain't getting abducted by anybody. And they have. And when my friend said that, I said, really? You had a classic abduction experience? He said, yeah, absolutely classic. I was on a table. I said, what were they doing to you? And he said, exactly what you told me, Dave. They're working on my head. They're putting something in my head. And he said, I could see their arms. I couldn't see the aliens' faces. But I said, and that's the thing. When you start seeing that kind of stuff, where you get DMT people describing abduction experiences and out-of-body experience describing beings in the spirit world and stuff like that, then you got to wonder, is it all the same thing? Are we misinterpreting what's going on? Now, Jim Semivan says that the third rail will come up. That first we're going to do this thing. And that's what you remember back in 2013, I talked about this a number of times, when Bigelow said, he was asked by George Knapp, are you in favor of disclosure? And Bigelow said, no, I'm not. I'm in favor of confirmation. First you get confirmation, then you do disclosure, and you leave the aliens till later. So it's like this plan, they're going to roll this thing out, but the alien thing is going to come up. But I'd say the debate is going to be, is this alien? Is it interdimensional? who are we really dealing with? And I don't think because you got a body, you can really tell what you're really dealing with. The abduction thing is going to be very controversial. And when the Wilson leak document came out at the very end, people said, oh, this is a scam document. It's disinformation. It's they're disinforming all these people or whatever, because it said no abductions. So then I looked at all the people that had access to that Wilson leak document, because it went to Bigelow. You got to remember, that was a memo that was written from Eric Davis to Bob Bigelow. So I looked at all the NIDS guys. I looked at Valet. No, doesn't believe it. Doesn't believe the abduction. Kit Green says no abductions ever. I looked at Edgar Mitchell, whose document it was. Edgar Mitchell said, no, I don't believe it either. There's no, these abduction thing is not what you think it is. And you see these high level guys all saying the same thing. So there are these cases. The question is going to come down to, what are abductions? What is actually really going on here? And it comes down to this thing of consciousness, that everything is consciousness. Everything is, as Deepak Chopra says, everything is an activity inside consciousness. And we want to turn it into this physical type thing. It's very real, the same as all sorts of experiences are real. It appeared that the world was flat. It appeared that the sun was going around the earth. Things appear, but is that exactly what's going on? And I think the more information you get, the more that abduction thing is going to start going down, and you're going to realize it's not what you think it is either.
All right, we got time for a couple more questions here. We got about 4.5 minutes before we have to go to break. At the top of the hour, Grant Cameron is our guest. Grant, Red in the Valley is asking, what is your opinion on how this announcement will affect religions around the world?
Yeah. I think the religions are all over it. The Catholic Church is all over this thing. They're ready to baptize all the aliens. I don't think that's going to disturb anybody that confirms God. The guys that I say are going to be fighting over the cyanide pills are the secular scientist guys who spend $45,000 a year at MIT and suddenly realize they've been had. That majority of the crap they've been promoting, or the skeptics who said there's no UFOs, it's garbage, it's whatever. Like, how do those guys walk away from that? I'm sure they're going to figure some way. But there's been a bunch of people, it's the scientific community that's held this thing up, that has said this is garbage. You couldn't get the scientific community to look at it. You do not bring it up in a paper. You'll basically, what happened to John Mack? John Mack brought it up and they tried to throw him out of Harvard. It's the academics who are going to have a real tough time, where they believe that it's a random physical, we're just biological robots in a random meaningless universe, and there are no ETs, we're at the, you know, we're the only thing. And that's the big problem. When you have aliens, you can say, okay, this happened one time, that all these random chances happen and there's us, and then suddenly there's an alien looks exactly like us. This random thing happened again and again and again, and there's thousands of different aliens and they all look like us. I think they're the ones that are going to really be scrambling, because a lot of this is going to show that consciousness is primary, which they do not accept in the scientific community yet. And the fact that we are not alone, we are not the center of the universe, that as I was told, we think we've got all the right blocks and we're waiting for one block. What I was told is, not only have you got it wrong, what everything you believe, it's exactly the opposite. You have no clue what's going on. And I believe there's no clue, that these people have no clue, and academics aren't going to want to accept the fact that the majority of the stuff that they believed is going to be basically wrong.
All right, let's get to Grandmaster's question. What's the biggest developments in the disclosure movement in the past 20 years? From whistleblowers from multiple countries to program disclosure to alien bodies and historical evidence in saucers. What's your opinion?
The biggest disclosure is the October 4th meeting with Leslie Kane. That changed the whole world. Everything changed after that. You've had events where, like Bill Moore being contacted and being given material and stuff like that, and talking to high level people, but nothing is going to come close to the disclosure. New York Times article. Nothing will even come close to that.
By the way, in our live YouTube feed, you've crossed 300.
There you go.
Look at you.
I'm so proud. Yeah.
305. 305. But you're officially number two now. Again. There you go. Again. Yeah. But
we don't want to overtake Elizondo. I mean, he's the key guy now. You don't want to embarrass him now. He's carrying the flag for us now.
Yeah, and no offense, he has a better beard than you. I will say that. You know, I mean, hey, it's just just the way it is. You know, facial hair has its privileges around here, Grant. And I understand everything that you're going through. And I'm just going through some more questions here from our audience. But let's get to B. Hoff's question. And which contact modality works the best in this situation coming to June 25th?
Oh, wow. Which contact modality works the best? Well, I near-death experience is pretty powerful. You get the same thing with near-death experience and the abduction experience. You have 40% of all experiencers say at one point during their experience, they knew the answer to everything in the universe. Near-death experience, 31% say at one point during the experience, they knew the answer to everything in the universe. 42% of experiencers say they have mathematical, scientific, or technical material in their head. Even Jack Sarfati, who you referred to earlier, had the phone call when he was a young kid, 12, 13 years old. And they said, we're going to pick the 400 top people in the world. And we've picked you. Do you want to agree to this? And he said, yeah, I agree to it. And this thing go up his back. And so there are these modalities that people are coming in. Psychedelics is pretty powerful in terms of trying to figure out what's going on. Those things all change in terms of the fact that it starts to be known that consciousness, it may be primary, that consciousness is something that we have completely missed the boat on, and that it's a key to understanding how the universe works.
All right, my friend, good timing right there. We're going to go to break here at the top of the hour. Grant Cameron, we got him till the bottom of the hour here on Spaced Out Radio. And when we come back, we're going to take your audience questions. And at the bottom of the hour, the Magic 8 Ball is going to warm up for your questions, along with the news and Thought of the Dave.
Would you like to connect with us? Head to spacedoutradio.com for all your latest show info. Now, back to Dave Scott and SOR.
Third and final hour of Spaced Out Radio is underway tonight. My name is Dave Scott. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We really do appreciate earning your listening ears wherever you are on this beautiful planet we call Earth. A special shout out to my cousin Darren here in British Columbia. He is a doctor on the front lines of the whole COVID pandemic. Darren, we love you and all of you great people who you're working with and other doctors and nurses to get us back. Get that border open, man. Get that border open. We need to travel to Vegas, cousin Darren, and you're invited. You're invited to the Spaced Out Radio party. Hey, I want to remind all of you that we are on our terrestrial affiliates around North America. So if you're listening there, thank you for tuning us on in. And we also want to say that all of our archives are free by going to youtube.com/spacedoutradio. Just do me the favor, hit that subscribe button. The Desert Clam has set the password for tonight in the SOR Space Travelers Club. Meta-analysis is your password. Use it wisely, space travelers, as a clam sets the password each and every night right here on Spaced Out Radio. Our website is spacedoutradio.com. We have a plethora of features for you, including rocking out to Bumblefoot and reading up on Captain Shirk's SOR Newswire. Follow us on Twitter at Spaced Out Radio and on Instagram, Spaced Out Radio Show. Grant Cameron is here. We're taking your questions from the audience in our chat rooms right now. Grant, we're going to start off with George's question. If the beings are not physical, why are the metamaterials being gifted to humanity?
Well, they are physical when they come into our reality. That's what Yossi Ronan's beings told him. When we come into your world, we take on a body. So when they drop the port material, the metal material, it is physical once it gets here. The same as if you know the story with Sherry Wilde. Have you ever interviewed Sherry Wilde?
I have not.
Okay. She's got a fantastic story. She got a lot of recall. She was regressed by Center for UFO Studies and the top guy in Illinois or whatever. And she had the being, and she had this story where she's dealing with Da, who looked like a gray, like a Zeta. So she writes the book. They force her to write the book. She doesn't want to write it. She writes the book, sends it to the publisher. And the publisher said, Sherry, you said he's from Andromeda. She said, yeah, that's what he told me. He said, it can't be. He's a Zeta. He's got to be from Zeta Reticuli. And so she says, okay, I'll go ask him. So she goes to Da. She says, are you actually an alien? Like, you said you're from Andromeda, but you're a Zeta. And he said, no, that would not best describe who I am. He said, I am an etheric being on a mission through the universe for the creator, something to that effect. And the idea is none of us are. We are all etheric beings. We are all actors on a stage, but we are not the actor on the stage. We are coming in. So they when they come in, they can become physical. So Sherry said to them, says, well, why do you come as this scary looking gray thing? And he said, scary looking gray thing? I scare you? Do I scare you? She says, yeah, you scare me. He said, Sherry, you ever look in the mirror when you smile, you have those big teeth. When you come towards us, we think you're going to eat us. And he said, I use the gray body because it's more functional than creating a human body. But that's so there's a number of different beings have said the same thing. So when people do the abduction thing, they always ask, you know, were you scared? Did they probe you? Did it hurt? I always say, as I said to you, Dave, remember when you saw the being, what's the first question I said? Was he wearing any clothes? Did he have any sex organs? And people go, no, he didn't have sex organs. He wasn't wearing any clothes. And how do you know he's a male or a female? I just knew. I could sense he was a male or a female. And then I would ask like I asked Betty Andreasen and her husband, you saw the being when he was first in 1946, and now you're 80 years old. And this being, did he ever get any older? And they go, no. But aliens live a long time. So you have these things that indicate there's something wrong with the being. They're not getting any older. They don't have any sex organs. They don't really have a mouth. They don't have a nose. They don't have ears. All this weird stuff that's happening. And so, yeah, when they come into the physical world, if they crash or they drop stuff, then they're in the physical world. They're captured in the physical world, but they can go back. We can do, that's what Yossi Ronan's being said to him. You can do the same thing. You just don't know it. So we think we're locked in the physical world. Everybody's locked in the physical world. And we don't realize that it's this idea that you can come in, you can go. They just know stuff in physics that we don't know.
All right. Casual Conversation is asking, will they just keep delaying information and never give us a clear answer?
But that's where it comes down. Everybody's waiting for the clear answer. We just like, you know, sometimes, you know, you want to ask, you know, the government might say, well, you want coffee and pie with that order. I mean, we're sort of asking the government, give us this, give us that. They're always going to delay it because it's not in their best interest to put the story out. It doesn't really help them to put it out because they don't have the answers. And that gets you into the problem of having to answer next question, and you can't answer, and there's more questions, and the thing just unravels, and you don't want the Russians to know what you've got. It's like playing a game of cards. If you've got the cards and you've got these things, you put your cards on the table and the Russians go, oh, thanks, those are the cards we need. Now we're not going to disclose. Nobody wants to do that. Everybody's playing this fear game of me versus you. Keep it secret. Why have you got so much military technology that's secret, or even political stuff that's secret? Because people just don't want to air their dirty laundry. The president has executive privilege in terms of the people that talk to him, don't have to disclose what they're saying to the president. You even have this situation now with the FBI, that the FBI is defending some of the stuff from the last administration because they can't. They don't want a situation where their lawyers are outed as to what they told the head of the FBI. So you have these things that it's always safer to keep the secret, to stay in the background. Once you're out in the public, then it all opens up. So I don't think they're ever going to, unless they're forced, and they are going to be forced because, as I said, the blood is in the water. The media now knows it. The media has the sources, and they are going to drag this thing out. And every time they break a story, it's going to put more fuel on the fire, and it's just going to get bigger and bigger. And I don't know where it's going to end, but it the blood is in the water. There's no doubt about that to me.
Nikki on Facebook is asking, have you ever heard of or come across a government book? Apparently there's only 500 ever printed, mass multi-government agency UFO ET book with thousands of PGS, thousands of government documents showing ET types and ET ships.
The only thing I've heard in that regard is Doty always told the story that there was this book that the aliens had produced for the government. Danny Sheehan said that he worked on a classified report for Jimmy Carter, and one was on ET, one was on extraterrestrial, one was on ETs, one was on UFOs, and that in the UFO book the report he had seen it. He didn't realize what kind of classification was on it, but he said it was classified. He saw it before it went to the president, and there was diagrams of UFOs. And in the extraterrestrial report, it said that there were at least six extraterrestrial races visiting the Earth. One of the things I got in the, if this stuff is, it's a very high level, if they do have it, and I doubt there's going to be 500 copies of it, But I got the one with the Johnson study, that the guy that was doing the eyes only study, which means there's no documents. It's the old, we destroy everything. We don't have any, the president sees it and then we destroy it. So there was a 9-month study done for President Johnson. There was 8 people that worked on it. Head of Lockheed Skunk Works, head of National Reconnaissance Organization, the head of the Weird Desk, the Pandolfi's job. It was Art Lundahl at the time. The 4-star general from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, all these high-level guys worked on this report. And you know what the conclusion of the report to President Johnson was? Exactly what the government is saying right now. Yes, UFOs exist. Yes, there's actual crafts. Yes, this is all for real. And we really don't know if where they're from or what the extraterrestrial is. Exactly the report. And I read it. I did a podcast. I read the final report. It was like 7 or 8 pages, the final conclusion that was given to the president. And what happened is this guy, Frank Rand, was the guy who was in charge of the study. And he decided he was going to do a manuscript on this. And then he died. And the manuscript was sort of half finished. And his daughter gave it to a UFO researcher. She knew I was doing the president and came to me. If it had not been for that girl, nobody would have ever known that the president did a study. There was an eyes only study done. And that's why I say what you think the president doesn't know, there's stuff happening behind the scenes. Same as Jimmy Carter did studies. He sent his press secretary to the FBI, forced out 1500 pages. There was a story that the CIA, there was the girl that went to the CIA to get the documents, the FOI, Carter had great pressure on there. She started breaking down, crying at the CIA because she was under so much pressure because the CIA guys were stalling her, hiding documents and stuff like that. So a lot of stuff happens behind the scenes, but 500 books doesn't make sense. It would be, there might be 1 book or 2 books. This is going to be a very limited need to know. It's going to be a handful of people who actually understand the whole situation, if there's anybody that understands the situation.
All right, let's get over to little Davey Altman's question. Grant, is there a coincidence between June 24th, the Kenneth Arnold sightings back in the day, and the June 25th date?
No, it just was when the thing was signed. So it was signed on December 24th or whatever, and it was 6 months from there. Actually, the Kenneth Arnold wasn't the first. It's the same as Betty and Barney Hill was described as the first abduction. And I say now, no, if there was a first abduction, it was Nancy Tremaine, who was 2 months before. And I helped her publish her first book, wrote the forward to her second book. She's got a very detailed account of an abduction 2 months before. The same as the Kenneth Arnold was not first. The first was the Aport thing. It was Maury Island where the UFOs were doing the theory of wow, where the UFOs are flipping around, all these UFOs, and the one explodes and all this metal rains down on all these people. Now, did they fly across the galaxy in 1947 and then one UFO explodes, or did they actually force that thing? And that's how it started. That was 3 days before Kenneth Arnold was a UFO explosion over Maury Island, where all this metal came raining down and the Air Force went in there with the B-25 and then they flew out and the plane crashed going out with the metal, and everybody thought this was a big conspiracy that the plane had been taken down. So Kenneth Arnold wasn't even the first sighting. It was not the big one was Maury Island, which was 3 days before that.
All right. Philip is asking, do you think other countries will be doing their own disclosures following the United States?
I remember talking to Scott Jones, who's one of the Avery guys, and he was telling me the stories that he had been working for Claiborne Pell, who was the head of the Foreign Relations Committee. And Claiborne Pell was not into UFOs, he was into paranormal phenomena, but he had the best job I've ever seen in the world. He would go to seances, he would go to UFO conferences. That's all he did. It was the weird stuff for Claiborne Pell. And he was sent to Russia, and he talked about being in Russia and trying to negotiate for a piece of alien tissue from the Russians. And then he went to the Chinese, and he told the story. He was with the Chinese and he said, I'm here representing Claiborne Pell. And they said, oh, you're here from the American government representing. No, he said, no, I'm for Claiborne Pell. And they said, oh no, you're with the government. You're the government sent you. No, he said, I work for Claiborne Pell. He's not the government. He's part of the government. He's lower down in the government. But, and they said, no. So he was dealing with high level Chinese officials, like the top guys. And he said that he asked them, he said, why don't you disclose over the Americans? And this is what Scott Jones told me. He said, the Chinese looked at him and said, when the Americans disclose, will be a close second. So that is the question, because people do this thing about the cover up, that they're covering this thing up. You got to remember that there are, that there's like this idea that there's some Illuminati thing that's running the cover up or whatever. You got to remember there's like 195 or 196 countries. The Illuminati's got to be running 196 countries. There's all sorts of countries that have crash material and stuff, and everybody's just holding back because they don't have the answers. And plus they're playing the game that they may be able to back engineer this stuff and get the technology. So there's a lot of reasons for all the countries, but all the countries are saying playing the same game, which comes to the 64 reasons. There's got to be a reason why everybody's covering up. There's got to be a legitimate reason that if Dave, if you were in the government, you went in there and you got signed in, you'd suddenly go, oh, okay, I know what's going on. Okay, I'll keep quiet. There's got to be something that keeps all these people quiet because nobody has defected.
Not one single person yet. In regards to that, Grant, do you see it coming to a time where all of a sudden Canada or other countries will sit there and say, well, the U.S. is going on with this. Let's hop on board. We're all allies here. We're all buddies here. Let's get to it.
Yeah, but you know what happened? I mean, the Canadians have been contacted lots of times. I mean, and they've been told, and they just salute. They just, whatever the Americans say, you know, they just say, how hard do you want me to jump and stuff like that. Everybody's, nobody wants to make a move on this thing. Nobody wants to handle the hot potato, and the Canadians are the same sort of thing. I mean, the Canadians, you see what happens. Like, so Wilbur Smith in 1954, has AFA fly over the station. He tells Francis Swan, get AFA to fly over the station. He flies over the station. And I was talking to a guy who was in the station when these things went, all the alarms went off and the thing went off the chart. And Wilbur Smith said, oh, if there's nothing wrong with the equipment, we just detected the first flying saucer over Ottawa. The program was shut down. 2 days later, they said, nothing to see here. Wilbur's no longer allowed to talk on behalf of the Canadian government. He can use the material. There are no UFOs. That was the end of UFOs in the Canadian government, August the 10th, 2 days after they detected a UFO. So it doesn't get anybody anywhere. And if you're in the government, you just want a job. You're not really into stirring the pot. You're not into losing your security clearance or getting fired. Or if you're in the military, you just salute and do your job. Only the various high level person may know, and everybody's just playing the game. And people have this assumption that because you're in the government, you're going to know everything that's going on. Absolutely the farthest thing from the truth.
Very true. Grant Cameron is our guest tonight on Spaced Out Radio. Nightgazer is asking, do you think the government insiders are pushing disclosure because they fear UAPs?
No, as I said, I think, and I've had different takes on it over the years where I thought the government was pushing disclosure. But if you see this, the key is that thing. Lou Elizondo resigns in the morning on October the 4th. So he's resigned. He's no longer in the government. He does not make the move until he's retired. The afternoon, they call in the New York Times. So these retired people push the story. The people in the government are, so he puts everybody, that's why they're so angry at him. Because now he's in the clear. He's the guy that's the whistleblower. He's the guy that's talking. He's outside the government. And all these guys, they're going, what the hell did you do to us? Well, look at the situation you put us in, you idiot. We're going to get you. And they start making up stories about him and they try to pull a security clearance. They're just furious because he put them in a box and nobody wants to be in the box. Nobody wants to have to answer the question. That's why all the people that have made the disclosure stuff, whether it's Semivan or Lou Elizondo or Mellon, they're all people who used to be in the government. They're not in the government anymore because that's when you can make the disclosure. People in the government do not want to touch this subject. It's a hot potato. It doesn't get you anywhere. It's not going to advance your career. And you don't want to have to be the guy who stands up in front of the public and gets accused of covering up and killing people and whatever. It's just a situation you just are not going to win once it starts to be exposed and you have to face thousands of reporters and just one question after another question after, and it's never going to end. And there's a lot of things you don't know.
Right on. Grant Cameron is our guest tonight. We have him for another 5.5 minutes here. A couple of people are asking, Grant, because you made a comment about aliens being communist. So why have you said this, according to Armando?
Well, because that is the model. This is a oneness thing. This is, you can use a kibbutz. You can use the cells in a body. You can use a beehive. That's what Tom DeLonge said. This is a beehive thing. These guys don't have souls. We have to kill them. That is the whole concept. is that it is all one thing. It's all, everybody's working for the same purpose. Whereas we have the separation thing. It's competition. It's like a big hockey game. It's like ends justifies the means. But if you take a look at the beings, there is nothing physical about beings. They don't have any designer furniture. They don't have any, if they have clothes, they're all wearing the same clothes. They are in this idea of a kibbutz, or like in Canada, we would have the Hutterite colonies where they all work. They all have, there's just one guy that's sort of the crew chief, but everybody's equal. Everybody's running this thing. That's the thing. And that's why when Adamski came forward in the 1950s, that's why he was being investigated by the FBI, because he thought he was being brought in by Russia because he was a communist. He was promoting this thing about everybody has health insurance, everybody's equal, all this kind of stuff. That is the model. If you take a look at it is a beehive. They are on the ship, everybody's doing their job. They're like cells in the body. Everybody does their thing. Nobody's a cancer cell. Nobody says, okay, I'm going to do my own thing. Don't tell me what to do. And if I want to, you know, be a cancer cell, I'll be a cancer cell. Everybody's doing exactly what they're supposed to do. That's the concept. And that's why Tom DeLonge says we got to kill these guys, because it's a beehive and it's got to be bad.
All right, moving on here. Jovan is asking, what's the point of hiding your cards if, as you say, Grant, we haven't reverse engineered next to anything?
Well, they hope that they're going to reverse that. But if you put your cards, you definitely are going to take a chance that you're going to give the Russians, the Chinese, the cards they need. You're going to hold the cards as long as you can. That's why I said, if you're going to give the president briefing, you say, Mr. President, we're working our butts off, Mr. President. We're doing whatever we can. We're putting piles of money, and we've got this project. We're trying to figure it out. Don't spill don't upset the apple cart. Leave us time to do this. We've almost got it figured out. And so they're working on it. But if you put your cards on the table, then it's all over. You may give the other side especially if you're playing this fear game, you may give the other side the cards they want. Or if you're in the situation where you're trying to get a patent, it's definite, in my opinion, they have not figured this thing out. No matter what anybody says, they don't have all the answers. So until you get the answers, there's no advantage to you putting your cards on the table. You sit there and you delay it as long as you can. You go to the president, you say, we need money, Mr. President. We're at this point and we can't figure this thing out. But in terms of, it does not help to put your cards on the table. There's no advantage to that at all.
All right, Grant, we only have 2.5 minutes here left with you tonight. And this is a show that's flown on by. And I know we have to say goodbye to you right after we get to the break here at the bottom of the hour. But I'm curious, in your 2-minute estimation of what the next few days are going to be like, including after June 25th, what do you see happening? What's your prediction?
I think I said it earlier. You're going to see them sort of sneak this report. There's going to be a lot of questions asked, and then the bomb goes off. And it's going to, you think it's going fast now. You wait until after, when any little piece of information that comes out, it's just going to spiral a thing. It is going to take off like incredible. I don't know how fast it's going to move, but it is only going to start on the 25th. That's when they light the fuse on the bomb. And when it goes down, as soon as they start answering questions, the horse is out of the barn, and I don't see how they put it back in. It's just going to lead to another question, another question, another question, another question. And that's what they've been trying to stop for 75 years. And they've run out of time. And the media has realized they're digging. They're trying to find documents. They're filing FOIAs, and they're not stupid. They know the sources. And the other thing is, you have Danny Sheehan, who's on the inside of the Pentagon now, who is going to make sure if the bomb doesn't go off, he's going to make sure it goes off, that this thing goes. It's not going to just be a review. It's going to be an investigation if Danny Sheehan has anything to do with it. And I think he has the power and the knowledge to force an investigation and just keep pushing the issue. And it just keeps accelerating. There's more blood in the water, more sharks. It's just going to keep going. That's what I think is going to happen.
All right. Well, Grant, what's new for you coming up here the next little bit? What's your schedule like? We got 40 seconds.
Okay. We're doing the big thing on the 25th. I say we want to know what the other side is doing. So we're going to bring in 70 or 80 experiencers onto a panel. They're going to get 5 minutes. They're going to describe who they're dealing with and what the message is. And we're going to see what the other side says. No disclosure. There's going to be no NDAs. Nobody's going to say the aliens told it's a secret. They're going to tell us what that is. The weekend I'm doing Contact in the Desert, and everybody there wants panels. There's all these disclosure panels. I have one with Steve Bassett. So there's a lot of media going on now. Almost every day somebody wants an interview, because just like the New York Times and Washington Post, all the podcasts are on this as well. Everybody's trying to scoop this story. Everybody's trying to get at this thing. This is like the new Trump story where everybody's watching, where you can sell ads and stuff like that. This is important stuff, and it's very, very busy time. I've never seen it this busy before in my life.
All right, Grant Cameron, everybody. We thank him once again. He's a legend and a good friend of mine and this show. Coming thank up you. Next, we have, oh, yes, the Magic 8 Ball is warming up. The news and the thought of the day for next as well. Stay tuned.